Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Christian, for that introduction. And thank you to yourself and to Pastor Drew and to Pastor Craig for just allowing me to share my heart today with you wonderful people here. Now, I'm quite certain that everyone here will attest, will concur with me on this, is that there have been a myriad of amazing sets of trios all throughout the annals of time. Amazing sets of trios. And Matt, if you could help me out with this. We've seen trios such as the Marx Brothers. We've seen trios such as the Fellas from the Good and the Bad and the Ugly. We've seen the lovely ladies from the Destiny's Child. We've seen the legendary Three Musketeers. And when we think of the Three Musketeers, we also got to think of the Three Amigos. We think of the original cast, the stars from the Three's Company. We also think of the legends from one of the pioneers of hip-hop in Hollis, Queens, Run DMC. All you moviegoers in the house, we think of the stars of the Twilight. Go William. Not that I'm a fan or anything. Okay, maybe I am. When we think of Twilight, we also got to think of the Harry Potter group of trios. When we think of sets of threes, we also got to think of the old, and let me emphasize this, the evil Miami Heat trios. Thank you, LeBron, for leaving. Let's go Knicks. Let's go Knicks. Please, God. For some reason, God doesn't answer those prayers. But next, we have the original American Idol trio. Next, we have the Justice League trio. Anyone excited for the 2016 movie? I am excited about that. Next, we have Alvin and the Chipmunks. And lastly, the Ghostly trio. With all that being said, all those amazing trios will never, they all pale in comparison to the wonderful, the selfless, and the empathetic group of trio, the pastoral trios that we have here at Hope Church NYC. Can we give it up for them with Pastor Christian, Pastor Drew, and Pastor Craig? We just want to thank them for all that they do for caring for us here at this church. And on behalf of my wife, Bindu, and my three girls, and I know from Alan and Donald as well, we thank you guys for your hospitality. And thank you, church, for welcoming us to this family. Amen. Today, I'm going to steal a phrase from Verizon Wireless, which they made famous many years ago. And the phrase is, can you hear me now? Can you turn to your neighbor and say, can you hear me now? Most of us remember this commercial done by Verizon Wireless many years ago, where this guy would walk around from place to place, right? And he would go to places where the phone would normally not work. And so he goes out further and further away from this, and he would never lose the connection. And he would ask this one question, can you hear me now? Whether you agree or you disagree, the commercial is trying to make a point that their service is well and it's good. In fact, it's excellent. And that anytime you use their service, you will never go out of range. Don't we ask that many times in our Christian walk? Sometimes we feel like we are out of the range of God. And we're praying and we're asking God, but it's like God is not listening. And we tend to think, God, are you even speaking? The thing is, God is always speaking, but the problem is we're not always listening. And how can we, right? We live in the busiest city in the world, the greatest city in the world, New York City, where we have everything speaking at us so loudly. We have our careers speaking to us, responsibilities at home speaking to us, the media speaking to us, school speaking to us, everything speaking to us. No wonder it's so difficult to hear from God. Can you hear me now? Can you turn to your neighbor one more time and say, can you hear me now? As Pastor Chris was introducing me, my name is Finn Verghese, whatever you want to call me. Many people have come up to me and they said, well, what do you prefer, Finny or Finn? I don't really prefer anything specifically. I just recently, past couple of years, introduced myself as Finn because every time I introduce myself as Finny, I always get this response, what? Like, Finny? No, Finny. Fanny? No, Finny. Vinny. Oh, Vinny! Why didn't you tell me your name was Vinny? I was like, yes, my name is Vinny. And so and so I'm known as Vinny, Finny, Finn, whatever you want to call me. That's great. That's cool. But in my neighborhood growing up, I hated my name. I did not want to be Indian, so I welcome, and Vinny Varghese actually sounded cool. Vinny Varghese compared to Finny Varghese, and I just always want to be Italian too, you know. So whenever somebody asks me, what are you, Italian? Yes. Hispanic? Yes. Filipino? Yes. I just did not want to be Indian growing up. It was just hard in my neighborhood. And I hated my name, Finny. But after a while, I found out why my parents named me Finny. And so, apparently, my parents named me Finny after the father of modern revivalism, Charles Finney. Don't we have an uncanny resemblance to this guy right here? But he is a legendary figure. He's one of the pioneers, one of the leaders of the second great awakening that took place here in the U.S. And he's from upstate New York, and he conducted these legendary meetings from 1825 to 1835 from upstate New York all the way to Manhattan. And people still talk about these meetings even till today. And one of his other claims to fame, other than this, is that he is the one that God used to initiate the very first altar call, legend has it, in all of history. First altar call, which is used all over the world today. And so I say all of this just to let you know that my parents absolutely set me up. They set me up for ministry. I mean, whatever I did, I entered the medical field, but God kept calling me into ministry. I entered into, I had my own business, I had my own restaurant, but God kept calling me into ministry. Anything that I did, I feel like I was not happy. I felt like this was not my calling. But anytime I did anything dealing with ministry, whether from serving in the back, ushering, helping out, preaching, teaching, whatever it was, I feel like this is what I was put on this planet for ministry, to do God's work. And so I say that just to say thank you, Mom, and thank you, Dad, and thank you, Charles. You handsome beast, you. But on a side note, you can still call me Finn. That's cool, because I was a huge fan of Huckleberry Finn growing up. So, I mean, that pretty much looks more like me right there, and I do that pose too. So, but listen, hey, I am a holler back type preacher, right? So feel free to yell back at me. Feel free to say it's good if you like something, or amen if you like something, or hallelujah, or preach, Huckleberry, preach. You can say whatever. You can say all of that. That's fine. But please, if I'm stinking up this place, just don't throw any tomatoes at me, or don't yell, he stinks, get him off the stage. Or, yo, Drew, fire him. Get him out of here. But thank you to Drew and Christina for allowing me to be here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to focus our attention today to the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. That's Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. So happy to have baby Emma here making her debut at Hope Church. So glad to have you here, Emma, too. We know this story. It is so familiar, right? It's the story of Paul, and we know the first half of the story, and we say it so many times, we preach about it, we read about it, we have dramas about it, and everyone always talks about this first half, but I want to focus more on the second half. But I'm just going to read everything together, and we can just dive into the text right now. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to a high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Verse 10, let's focus on this. Now, there was a man, a disciple named Damascus, named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to a street called Straight. And at the house of David, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, come in and lay hands on him that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard about many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Last verse. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and he was baptized. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we just come to your presence right now, God. I just humble myself, Lord, and I just pray that you will increase, that I will decrease. Lord, as a matter of fact, let me just get out of the way, God, and let you be seen. Let me hide behind the cross. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. I heard this story from a preacher one time. He was talking about this, he was in Dallas Fort Worth Airport and he was waiting to get on a flight to do some ministry. And he came across this magazine and this article, and the article struck his attention because the title of the article said, what happened when my pilot passed out? The title said, what happened when my pilot passed out? The article went into great detail about a man who was a pilot and he got a hold of some money, so he goes and he purchases a plane. He calls up one of his best friends and he asks him, why don't you come on this very first flight with me? His best friend said, obviously, yes, I will go. So here are these two men off in the air, thousands of miles in the atmosphere, just chillaxing, relaxing, just hanging out, when little did they know that tragedy was about to strike. You see, thousands of miles in the air, a nightmare was about to occur in the plane. You see, this man was a severe diabetic, and in the midst of all the hoopla and just the excitement of this trip, he forgot to take his insulin. So these two men are at the in the air, and all of a sudden, this pilot, he starts sweating profusely, just like me right now. And he starts shaking, and as he's sweating at the steering wheel, he starts trembling, and then his eyes start rolling to the back of his head. His friend looks at him, and he's terrified, he's scared, he's saying, are you okay, are you okay, is everything okay? But no response. All of a sudden, his friend starts shaking violently, ultimately just passing out. His friend is just so scared. He's saying, are you okay? Wake up, wake up, wake up. But there is no response. This man has passed out in the pilot seat of his plane. His friend runs to the back and he grabs the first aid kit and he goes and he brings it to the front. He grabs some ammonia out of it and then he takes a cotton ball and he puts it on that and he tries to revive his friend, but to of no avail, nothing, no response. He has passed out. His friend starts banging on his chest, please wake up, but nothing. Then fear starts gripping the heart of his friend, and then he starts just thinking of his life going before his eyes. He takes his friend next, and he puts him to the side, and gets on in his seat, and then puts on the headset, and then he's just saying, mayday, mayday, somebody help me, mayday, somebody help me, is there anybody there? With no response, more fear starts gripping his heart. Then all of a sudden, a voice comes from the other side, and the voice says, I hear you, over. And he says, oh, please, I'm in this plane, and it's about to crash, and I don't know what I'm doing, please help me. And the voice from the control tower says, sir, are you a pilot? He says, no, I'm not a pilot, I'm just a passenger, but I'm in this plane right now, and it's about to go down, please, I need your help. The voice from the control tower says, sir, I need you to calm down. I can see your exact location. If you will calm down and listen to my voice, I will show you how to land this plane. The article concludes telling that this man landed this plane with ease and perfection simply because he could listen to a voice that he could hear, but he could not see. Simply because he listened to a voice he could hear, but he could not see. Hope Church Astoria, let me submit to you that this situation is a lot like our life. You see, we find ourselves in the pilot seat of life, and I don't care if you're 8 years old or if you're 80 years old. None of us are experts in life. And many times life just brings unexpected things your way, and you feel like you're about to crash. But I got some good news for you. I want to encourage you as we enter into the new year to grab on that headset called prayer and call on the control tower of heaven and say, Mayday, Mayday, I'm about to crash this thing. I don't have all the answers, but I feel like everything is going downhill. My relationship is about to crash. My marriage is about to crash. My career is about to crash. My health is just spiraling down. And Lord, I feel like everything is going downhill. But God has told me to tell you, just to encourage you and just to say that we cannot make it if we cannot hear the voice of God. We got to hear the voice of God. We got to hear the voice of God. We got to hear the voice of God. Can you turn to your neighbor one last time and say, got to hear the voice of God. You got to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear. It almost sounds crazy, right? If you think about it, he who has an ear, let him hear. Because if you think, because Christ says, just because you have these two appendages in the side of your face, that does not mean that you can hear, right? So we need to hear the voice of God in the Spirit. In fact, I believe that you need to know the Word of God. Yes, you do. But just as equally, you need to hear the voice of God. You see, knowing the Word of God is like a roadmap. But hearing the voice of God is a GPS system. How many of y'all like the GPS system? I absolutely love my GPS system. I use it for everything, right? I mean, even if I know where I'm going, I still use it. I don't know why I do that. I need to get delivered from that. Y'all need to pray for me. I remember 2 months ago, Hope Church Midtown launch, I was going to the preview service, got out of the subway, took out my phone, and just kind of using my GPS system, you know, turn right. I kind of like an idiot, but just turn right, you know, turn left. And so I wish, don't we wish God kind of, God was kind of like our GPS system, and we kind of heard from him that clearly, right? No, don't take that job, but yes, take that job, because if you take that job, you'll go in your proper career path. Or ladies, no, don't take his number. Because if you take his number, you're going to waste 2 years of your life. Fellas, yes, go ask her out because she's the one you're going to marry. Or no, don't go down that road, because if you go down that road, there is a car accident that's going to happen. So go another route. God wants to say, God is saying, can you hear me now? God is asking, can you hear me now? God is inviting us to hear him today. We hear the story right here of Paul and Ananias. And Paul and Ananias in this scripture represents each and every one of us. We know Paul. We don't know too much about Ananias. Paul in the first, and if you don't know too much about Paul, I'm just going to put some information on Paul. Paul was born around the year 85, approximately around then. He was Jewish, so his Jewish name was Saul. He was also a Roman citizen, so his Greek name was Paul. He was born in Tarsus, which was the capital of the Roman province of Cilicia, and he was a devout Jew in Tarsus. And Tarsus was one of the largest cities in the Mediterranean coast, and it was known for its superior education of its day with its renowned universities. And I kind of compare it to Boston. When we think of Boston, we think of these amazing universities. So we can imagine Paul being this erudite individual. And the Bible also says he was a Pharisee, one who was advanced beyond many of his peers. He was sent from Tarsus to Jerusalem to be taught at a school by Gamaliel. And we know that Gamaliel was one of the most legendary rabbis in history. It's pretty amazing that Paul learned under this guy. His cousins were Andronicus and Junia, who were Christians already prior to his conversion. And Paul's mission is this. He was to zealously persecute his early followers and to violently attempt to destroy the movement. And Paul went from going from one of the movement's most ardent persecutors to becoming its most fervent supporters. That's Paul on one hand. And on the other hand, we have Ananias. We don't know too much about Ananias, but we know this about Ananias. He was a disciple of Jesus in Damascus. He was a devout man of the law, having a great report of all the Jews that dwelt in Damascus. He had an amazing reputation. He was sent to restore the sight of Saul with additional information in the way of the Lord. That's Ananias right there. That's it. Right? But it's pretty interesting because Paul, we have on one hand, who heard the voice of God through a dramatic experience. Ananias, on the other hand, heard the voice of God just by walking with God. In this particular situation, let's not be like Paul. who just waits for that dramatic experience to hear from God. I mean, I've waited so many times in my life. It feels like any time I need to hear from God, I have to get into a situation. That's the only time I can hear from God, because I can tune everything else out. The noise around me is not that clear, it's not that loud, but I can just focus on God through any dramatic experience I go to. Anyone in the room kind of feels like me in that situation? But God wants us to change that and to be like Ananias, to be walking with God, and while you're walking with God, hearing from God.
Amen.
These two men represent you and I today. And so here we see this. If you are here today and you want to be like Ananias, right? So I'll give you some tips on how we can, just studying this, just how we know if we are hearing from God. The Bible gives us 7 basic keys or filters to know we are hearing from God. The first one is scripture. So as we enter into the new year, let's dive into the scripture. As we enter into the new year, we have a lot of resolutions, right? We want to lose weight. We want to lose calories. We want to go work out. We want to be buff. We also want to read the Bible. We go from Genesis, Exodus. We hit February sometime. We get to Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then we're just like, oh, I give up. I just don't want to continue to read anymore, right? But I want to encourage you, let's just, as we enter into the next year, let's do Genesis, Exodus, skip Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, skip all that, get to Joshua and Judges, and just keep reading. Because God just wants to speak to us, right? So scripture is probably one of the best ways to hear from God. Another way is for the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart, to spend time in the presence of God through meditation or through the early just devotional life, improving that, being in His presence. As I was saying before, I have 3 little girls. They are the joys of my life. Their names are Milan, Karis, and Zoe. 3 girls, so y'all gotta pray for me on that one. But they are the joys of my life, and it's funny because every time I enter the house, we have an alarm system, so there's like this little beep that happens. So anytime I walk into the house, the beep happens, and my girls know when I'm in the house because they run. Whatever they're doing, they stop what they're doing and they just come to where I am. They're like, yeah, daddy's home, daddy, and they do the dance like daddy's home. Yeah, daddy's home. Yeah. I mean, they go all out and they're just so happy to be in my presence. And same thing, I love to be in the presence of my daughters and just to spend time with them and just to delight in them and just to enjoy them. And I feel like just God is so much like that too, just the father figure that He is. He loves to be in our presence and He wants us to just to delight in Him. So we are so happy to be in God's presence as well. So as the new year begins, let that be another resolution for us, just to spend more time in God's presence by just devotions and meditation and just being more, digging more deeper in His presence. The next one is the prophetic, word of knowledge and word of wisdom and personal prophecy. The next one is godly counsel. We have some remarkable leaders here at Hope, so you can seek them for godly counsel, whatever's going on in your life. Next one is confirmation. You see, we need confirmation. Paul and Ananias were 2 figures over here that Paul needed that confirmation from Ananias. Imagine if Paul went to go see Ananias and Ananias was not there. Because we read here that God told Ananias to go to the city and wait. And Jesus spoke to Ananias and said, go to the street called Straight. Go to the house and ask for Saul. And because Saul is going to be a chosen vessel for me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Ananias was like, what? What are you talking about? This guy is out to destroy us. And you want me to do something like that? Has God done anything to us like that? And we're just like, what are you talking about, God? I cannot do that. I cannot speak to that coworker. I cannot speak to that person. I'm just going to look like a complete fool. But God wants to use you, whether it's a Paul or God wants to use you like an Ananias. God just wants to use you and I in our tasks. We see that Ananias goes and he has fear. He has fear to go and to speak to Paul. One thing we have to know is that fear will activate the enemy. Fear activates the devil, but faith will activate God. So whatever fear that you have right now in your heart as we end this year, that fear that's been gripping your heart in your particular situation, I want you to just speak faith into that. Because the more fear you speak, The enemy loves that and will bring more fear to you, more fear to you, more fear to you. But in the midst of that fear, I want you to speak faith into that. Because when you speak faith in the midst of that fear, God, you will just activate God even more. And the faith will just crush all the fear that is in you. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than they that are out in the world. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. The peace of God is the next one. Peace of God. Whenever we get into a situation, we know that it is God, because we got a new job, we enter into a new job or a relationship, whatever it may be, we know that there is a peace and we know it's from God. So a peace of God is another way God speaks to us. And the last one is circumstances and timing of the situation. And me just being here at Hope is just the circumstance and the timing of everything. I know that this was just the plan of God for me to be serving in this wonderful church. But before any of that is even done, the first thing we have to do is seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the first thing we got to do is our posture to be seeking after God, not seeking these other things and just kind of having God along the way. God, I'm seeking my career, but I'm kind of bringing you with me, please. I'm seeking this something else, but I'm bringing you with me. But God is saying to seek me first, and everything else will just be added unto you. So as we enter into 2015, will you seek God?
Amen.
Will you seek God in everything that you are doing? As I can get Alan and the worship team to come forward as we're about to close, we need to fine-tune our hearing, because God is always transmitting. The problem is we're just not always listening and in tune. So just tune down everything else. Spend more time in his presence, because God will speak most of the time in just the stillness. In the stillness. In the stillness. The last story I have, I heard the story of this bus driver, right? And this bus driver, he would pick up these athletic teams, and he would go and he would drop one team to a track meet, pick up another, bring them to another track meet. But on this one particular incident, he said that he'll never forget this one day when he went to pick up a team. Something struck his attention. On the building was plastered "School of the Blind." So he was thinking, he's like, how in the world are these blind kids going to run this track meet? He couldn't understand it. So he's like, all right, let me just wait here. The kids come in the bus. He looks at the rearview mirror. He's like, all right, they look blind, okay. So he brings them to the track meet. And normally he would go and he would grab a burger. He would go and he would get something to drink. He would come back and pick them up. But in this one particular day, he's like, I'm not going to do that. I got to check this out. How in the world are these blind boys going to run this track meet? I mean, it's just going to be utter chaos. They're just going to be bumping into each other, and it's just going to be a mess. And I just got to see this. This is just going to be interesting. And so he waited there, right? And so to his amazement, this is what happened. The boys, they start going to the starting line. They went to the starting line, and before the person said, on your mark, it said, go, he saw that the coaches of each and every one of these boys went to the finish line. And when they said, on your mark, it said, go, this is what happened. It said, go. The coaches started saying, here, 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 here. The boys spent so much time with their coach, they could tune everything else out. And they could tune into the voice of their coach. And they knew by going and following his voice, they were going to reach their destiny, their finish line. And there is a God in our life as well, in heaven right now, and he's saying here. He's saying here. He's saying here. I don't know what you're going through today. Whether you have some doubts in your career and you're questioning God, you're going through a depression, you got issues in your marriage, you're single, you don't know who you're going to marry, you got so much concerns. God is there at the end of this chapter in your life. He's there saying, here, here, here. The Bible says the sheep will know the voice of the shepherd. And God wants you to hear his voice as we enter into this new year. Can we just reflect in our life right now? And just say, just think about those areas of our life that we need God to speak. As God is saying, here, here. Just tuning down every other noise that surrounds us that may be loud and saying, God, yes, I hear you. Yes, I'm listening, God.